Today we're building one of those subtle but absolutely crucial drum and bass ingredients. A color jungle percussion layer that adds life, movement, and jungle dust to the groove without hammering your CPU, and that last part matters. In Ableton Live 12, it's really easy to overbuild percussion layers until the session starts feeling heavy and the mix gets messy. So instead of stacking a bunch of flashy instruments, we're going to use a sampling-first workflow, a few stock devices, and some smart arrangement decisions to make the layer feel alive, lean, and pro. The goal is simple. We want a percussion mist sitting above the main kick, snare, and bass. Not a second drum kit, not a giant loop fighting for attention. Just those tiny shakers, jungle ticks, chopped break fragments, metallic accents, and little ghost hits that make the track feel expensive and rolling. First, before we touch any samples, think about the role of the layer. Ask yourself what the groove is missing. Is it too empty between the snare hits? Does it need more shuffle, more grit, more movement in the top end? Or maybe the main break is already busy, and all you really need is a few tasteful accents. That mindset saves CPU and makes better music. Indeed, NB, more percussion is not automatically better. The right percussion in a right rhythmic lane is better. So in Ableton, create a track and label it something clear like per color. Keep it separate from your main drum bus so you can treat it as a special layer, not part of the core kit. Now grab just two source types. One dusty break fragment, and one clean percussion one-shot. That could be a shaker, a rim, a wood hit, or a tiny metallic tick. Less is more here. A lot of the power comes from contrast between a gritty chopped break and a clean, precise accent. Drag those into a drum rack, or if you want to keep it even simpler, use one audio track and build from there. For the break fragment, load it into simpler. If you need multiple chop points, switch to slice mode. If you only need one tight fragment, classic mode is fine. The main point is to keep it controlled. Trim the sample tightly. This is one of the biggest beginner to intermediate upgrades right here. Shorten the sound before you process it. A tighter source almost always sounds more expensive. Set short fades so you don't get clicks, and high pass it if there's low junk hanging underneath. For a dusty break slice, starting somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz is often a good move, depending on the sample. If the fragment already sits in time, avoid unnecessary war processing. That's an easy place to waste CPU when you don't need to. Now let's program the rhythm. We want a pattern that breathes around the snare, not on top of it. If your snare is hitting on 2 and 4, let the color layer answer those hits instead of crowding them. A strong starting idea is soft shaker hits on the offbeats, a break slice just before or after the snare, and one or two ghost accents near the end of each bar. Keep some space open. Bass is part of the groove. And pay attention to velocity. This is huge. If every hit has the same level, the layer sounds programmed in a bad way. Give your main shaker hits a moderate range, your ghost notes a softer range, and your accent hits a clearly stronger range. That contrast makes the loop feel like a performance, not a copy and paste grid. If you want a nice intermediate move, open the groove pool and apply a subtle swing groove to the percussion layer only. Don't overdo it. You're not trying to create a second pocket. You're trying to support the pocket that the main drum's already established. A little timing swing, and a touch of velocity groove can give the layer some human push without making it sloppy. Next, shape the sound with a simple stock chain. Keep it lean. A really solid low CPU chain could be a Q8, drum bus, saturator, and maybe utility if you need width control. Use a Q8 first. High pass the layer so it stays out of the way of the kick and bass. If there's any nasty ring or harshness, notch it gently rather than boosting other frequencies to compensate. Sometimes a tiny cut around 6 to 9 kHz is all you need to turn sharp into usable. Then add drum bus very lightly. A bit of drive, a touch of transient enhancement if you need more tick detail, and keep the boom off. This is not a kick, it's texture. After that, a small amount of saturator with soft clip on can glue the layer together and make it feel a little dustier. Don't overcook it. We want character, not distortion for its own sake. If the layer starts fighting the bass or the hats, use utility to narrow the width or even bring it closer to mono. In drum and bass, the center lane belongs to the kick, snare, and bass. This color layer should support the stereo picture, not steal it. Here's a great teacher tip. If you immediately notice the percussion, it may already be too loud. If you mute it and suddenly the whole groove feels smaller, then you're in the right zone. That's the sweet spot. Felt more than heard. Now for one of the most powerful moves in this whole lesson. Resample the layer to audio. Once you like the MIDI pattern, route it to a new audio track and record a 4-bar loop. This gives you way more control. Now you can cut tails exactly, reverse a hit for a transition, place tiny fades, and commit the sound so you're also saving CPU. And honestly, CPU savings often come more from decisions than devices. One good source, one good chain, and one printed audio pass will usually beat 5 separate LEV effects chains. After resampling, trim the audio and test little edits. Maybe you reverse a short slice right before the drop. Maybe you cut a half bar fill into a switch up. Maybe you leave a tiny gap before a snare so the impact feels bigger. In darker DNB, removing information is often more effective than adding more. Now let's make the arrangement evolve. A static loop can work for a few bars, but a real track needs motion across sections. In the intro, keep the percussion filtered, quiet, and maybe a little narrow. In the drop, open it up and let the full color layer in, but still keep it subtle. In the second 8 or 16 bars, add a little extra break debris or a different accent pattern so the listener feels a new phrase coming. Then in the breakdown, thin it out or remove it entirely. Even one bar of silence can make the return hit harder. That's a classic DNB trick. Silence punches harder when the groove has been full. You can automate the high-pass filter opening up across the intro, increase drum bus drive a little into a switch-up, or fade the utility gain during the build. These are small moves, but they make the arrangement feel composed instead of looped. And always check the layer in mono. Always use utility to test width and phase behavior. If it sounds thin or weird in mono, simplify it. If it's stealing attention from the snare or bass, lower it and high-pass it more aggressively. A useful rule here: if you notice the percussion more than the groove, it's probably too loud. If you miss it when it's gone, you've probably nailed it. A few common mistakes to avoid: don't layer too many percussion samples. 2 to 4 core sources is plenty. Don't let break fragments muddy the low end. Don't overswing the layer. Don't keep it static for the whole track. And don't overload the chain with unnecessary devices just because they're available. For darker or heavier DNB, there are a few extra moves worth trying. Use one gritty break fragment as a dust layer. Put a tiny accent after the snare instead of on top of it. Try a reverse hit into a downbeat, or automate a little extra saturation in the last 2 bars before the drop to make the percussion feel like it's pulling the tune forward. Here's a quick practice challenge you can do right now. Build a basic 2-bar jungle color loop using one break fragment, one shaker or tick, and one accent hit. Process it with only EQ8, drum bus, and saturator. Then duplicate it and make a second variation by muting a few hits, shifting one accent slightly, and darkening the filter a little. If you want, resample both versions to audio so you can compare them in the session. Then test both versions over a rolling bass line, a darker reese section, and a snare-heavy jungle loop. Listen to which one works better in the intro, which one works better in the drop, and which one gives you the best switch-up energy. That's the core idea of this lesson. Build from a few carefully chosen samples. Keep the chain lean. Let the percussion support the snare, groove, and bass instead of competing with them. Use subtle swing, velocity variation, and arrangement automation to keep it alive. And when you need more control and less CPU, commit to audio. In drum and bass, especially jungle-influenced stuff, the best percussion layers are often the ones you feel more than hear. And when you get that balance right, the whole track suddenly sounds wider, deeper, and way more alive.